Welcome to Sports Doc DC. This is the podcast where we try to take health information that is everywhere and turn it into intelligence that is actionable. There's a big difference between information and intel. I want to give you the why, how, and when, because understanding lets us all get modern, get educated, and perform better. It's called accelerated learning. So come on, hang with me, and let's learn a little bit today. This one is episode 4, and we are going to talk more about the people that have decided, hey, this is something I want to get into. How would I make myself hireable? What suggestions do you have for me when I'm going through school? You know, how do I look the part? This is more about you coming into the chiropractic field. So join me for part 4, and let's get into some of this. Please recall that these are some of the best interview questions I've got over the years. The first one, what qualifications would you seek in someone being hired into this field? This is a tough one, guys, because first and foremost, I would want to have a need for somebody. Me personally, as in, I would need to have an opening for a new associate or be in the need for another doctor in my clinic. There's no way I can afford to pay for a new doctor if there isn't a need for it. If I have extra clientele that needed availability in my clinic that left me booked to the maximum, or if I needed extra time off in my schedule so I could do other things. And I think that's missed a lot of times. People go out there and like, well, I got this job, I got this career, why won't this guy hire me? What if they don't have a need for it? So make sure as you're doing your interviews, you understand, like, is there a need for it? And if there's not, can you create one? That being said, I have hired 6 or 7 chiropractors in my time, and 4 of them I let go in less than a year. They were great doctors. This just wasn't the spot for them at my clinic for a variety of reasons. It could have been my personality. That happened for one of them. We just didn't mesh. It could be the city itself. One guy had a girlfriend back home. It just wasn't the perfect fit. And that affects everything. And yet it's very rarely talked about with businesses. Next point, far more important than the chiropractic knowledge or your grades in school is your personality, how you relate to the client, and your personal mindset. No matter what your school performances is if you can't talk to another human being, or if you talk down on them because you think you're smarter, or you're better, or you make more money, or any number of reasons, you are not gonna succeed in business. And I've seen this happen 100 times at 1 million businesses. My clinic is mostly athletes and sport types people. Therefore, you need to be healthy and fit yourself. And you need to have a personality to match with these people. Nothing screams incompetence more than someone that has no knowledge of your skill set. So here's an analogy. If you were a car lover and decided that you're going to own a Ferrari, you're probably not taking it to get an oil change at the local Jiffy Lube. You have an extreme love of cars and you would want your maintenance and upkeep of that car to be at a high level. You bought a luxury car, you want that high level performance. The people that you trusted for your car would also need to have a similar mindset to you. They would need to love or really, really understand cars and would love working on cars almost as much as you do. This speaks nothing of the mechanic's skills, but of a matching personality with you. They can talk the same game. The same is true for nearly every profession, and the people that make it to the elite level are the ones that understand that. You have to have skills, true. But you had better mesh with the client first. And it's probably not fair. It doesn't have anything to do with your skill or anything to do with your knowledge or how good you did in classes. It hasn't anything to do with, were you a straight A student? And I think we're teaching students this wrong in school. I get that the A's are important because you have to try, but it doesn't mean that you're not good. And I see college kids change their careers because they got a C in chemistry. It's ridiculous. That doesn't matter in real life. It matters how you can talk to people. Also, not very politically correct, but you need to look the part. If you're going to work in my clinic, which is mostly healthy, fit people, you will do much better if you are healthy and physically fit as well. And if you like that lifestyle, you're going to mesh better with my staff and with me, and more importantly, with my clients. So hopefully I've given you some things to think about outside of chiropractic during the course of the interview. I think it's a role that high school and college age people should very much learn and learn it soon. You can succeed in anything that you put your mind to and you put your effort into if you truly want to do it. But there's always an easier and better path for those that are already in the lifestyle of the profession they choose. I had this intern one time who was a young girl. She ended up going to chiropractic school and she told me her dream was to work in the NFL on the NFL players. She was about 5'2" and she weighed less than 100 pounds. I told her in my clinic that she should never give up on her dream. It's a great idea, but she needed to also take a real life look at what she may had set up as her dream. Because I'm 6'3", a 220-pound man that has played football my entire life. I played in college. My brother and dad are football coaches. I can talk the game. I can go to the game and anticipate the plays. I know people in the league. The chances of me working my way up in the NFL are substantially higher than hers would be. And at first, she was kind of upset about that until we started talking about what are some advantages you would have over me. Well, if she wanted to work on pregnant women and young children, she's certainly a lot less scary looking than me, an ex-football player, and that would be a much easier path for her. So she still has a lot of avenues that are in her wheelhouse, and it might be better suited for her. She would have better opportunities in different directions based on her look, her age, her sex, etc. That doesn't mean it's impossible, and it doesn't mean don't try. I'm just trying to talk reality. You need to look the part because your path is much easier if you can just step back for a second and see yourself the way somebody else sees you and make some choices based on those decisions. It's not a yes or no thing, but possibly can you ask yourself a better question? What suggestions do you have for me to do while I'm in high school and in college that I can successfully enter this field? So we've talked about some of this, and I think it's a good question. I would call up, if I'm a young person deciding that I'm going to go to chiropractic school or thinking about it, I would call up a number of chiropractors in my town, and I would ask the shadow for half a day. A half a day is all you need. Anything more than that, you're going to get bored because they're not going to teach you how to be a chiropractor. See if it is a job that you could do all day in and out every single day. And then also pay attention to the different styles, the different techniques that people have. You're not going to learn a lot about actual chiropractic care or the techniques, but at this point in the game, that's not really what you're looking for. You want to see what personalities people are receptive to and what type of doctors seem to have a better clinic. After you have been to 3 or 4 or 10, ask yourself the honest question. Who would you rather go to and why? And then write a list and figure out why are those doctors that you seem to gravitate to superior to the other ones in your field? And this is what I want you to work on, your muse. Because I've learned a lot from chiropractic experience that I hated. The one guy I worked with, I couldn't stand him. That wasn't wasted time. I learned exactly who I didn't want to be. This year at my sports-based clinic, one of my interns who's very, very set on our style, we traded interns. We flopped. And I sent her to one of my friends who's a chiropractor that works on all pediatric and pregnant women. And it's very holistic and it's very warm and comforting with soft music when you're going in there. The young girl that came from that office that wants to go into that chiropractic field, I could tell she was a bit uncomfortable in my office. It was just a little too jagged. She didn't like the hip hop. It wasn't soft. She got along with everyone fine. You could just tell it wasn't her style. The same with my intern. My intern was a former college basketball player. And she's just like, man, it was just a little bit too soft for me. I didn't like that style. That's the kind of stuff you should be doing. We don't all have to be the same. And this field is not the same. And you don't want to force yourself into a version of it that you don't like. Next question. Are there certain support jobs that I could do before I get a degree or a certification that would help me? I think that is such a great question. I still remember the guy that wrote this question. He's a chiropractor now today. This guy's looking at the world a little bit different, and it really, really set him up a great way. Here's my answer. Jobs that force you to have interactions with other people. So with me, I think the personal training and the athletic training are probably two of the strongest things that you could do for a skill set, because you're going to get communication, you're going to get these hands-on skills that make you unstoppable. But I also think you could get a lot out of just being a waiter or a cashier at the supermarket. Now, being a waiter or a cashier at a supermarket, those are a terrible way to like, it's not that you can't make money, but you're not going to make enough money to like pay for a chiropractic school. So don't have it in your head that you're learning the skill, because you're not going to learn a skill that translates to chiropractic really well if you're the cashier at the supermarket, or if you're busting tables or filling up bags for money. But you have to look at it like this. You're getting paid for an education and practice on communicating with people. Look at it like a scholarship. You are learning the most important skill in a super fast rate. Just think of the checkout person at the grocery store. They might see 100 people in an hour. You can't teach that kind of communication. So can you go to work with determination and empathy and communication to other people daily over and over and over? Because that's what you're gonna have. You're gonna have the super happy people. You're gonna have the super crabby people. You're gonna have the people that someone in their family just died and they're having a terrible day. That are the skills that are needed for this job that just aren't taught. All right, one of the next questions. What kind of people skills are needed? Again, people skills are at least 100 times more important than chiropractic skills and doctoring skills. I would say I'm very good at being a chiropractor, but I think very few of my patients come in here for my skills. I have good skills, but they come in here because I can talk the game for them. And recall that, like any job, it does get repetitive, right? I had PTs back when I was a kid. And when they're the ones that talked me into being a chiropractor, because PTs tend to become the knee guy or the shoulder guy, and they're like, hey man, I think if you go in the chiropractic world, you never know what's coming in the door. Well, look, man, there's only so many things that can come in. It still gets kind of repetitive, right? But that's every job. Every job's repetitive. So don't get hung up on that one. I don't care what you're doing, it's going to be repetitive. What kind of management skills or self-managing skills are needed for the job? Well, that kind of depends on if you're going to be an owner or if you're going to be an associate, but you better be able to get along with other people, and you better be able to take instructions in your career, and if you're smart, for the rest of your life in all aspects. Listen to those with experience and learn. I've said it on some of the earlier chiropractic interview podcasts. My favorite part of my job is the people I meet, because I ask them questions. I feel like I'm getting a free education and learning all the time. So you don't have to do everything that patients say. For God's sakes, there's a ton of crap information being shared, but find a few pearls of wisdom and save yourself time, mistakes, learn some skills. I had a pool guy and a plumber in here today, and I'm like, hey, can you help me out with this problem I'm having at home? Sure, man. He helped me out. It was just fantastic. What kind of organization is needed for the job? I think basically the same type of organization that you would need for any job. Can you handle a family and juggle kids with their sports as income goes up and down in real life? And can you still be a good person? Don't forget, you should work to live, not live to work. I don't care what job you end up with, it's your job. Take pride in being the best at it and have discipline to make it happen. Remember, it's there for you to make enough money for you to live the life that you want to live. Your job should be a blessing that gets you what you want to live in life. That doesn't mean that I don't care. It doesn't mean that I don't love my work, but my work is not the top thing in my life. My family comes first, and this job lets me have the best family. Next question, which of my skills has been the biggest contributor to your success? Well, it's not really hard to think that on my interview with a chiropractor, you're now at the fourth series. This is going to go on damn near 80 minutes of education, of speaking. I think speaking is probably my biggest skill. I have a very good time creating a relationship with my client immediately, and I have a good time making things that are very difficult to talk about easy to understand. I'm like a chameleon. I get along with cops, I get along with the surfers, with the high school kids, with the skaters, with the athletes, the coaches, the pickleball retirees, and the teachers. I can talk to anyone. And I think that's what helps me more than anything. It's not fake. And I think it's because I truly am engaged and interested in what they do and what their life is way before I worry about their physical issues. So much of what I think about money is what I have taken from other clients who have told me, I spent all my life accruing all this money and I missed life. I collected things and I missed what was important in life. And now I'm 90 years old, my body's breaking down, I've got all this money and I don't give a shit for it. I wanted to have other things in life and I didn't do it. I pay attention to that stuff. I also don't fake anything in my clinic. There's no sales technique. There's no x-ray scans. There's no nonsense. I'm interested. I got one on the opposite side of that. What habit has been your biggest weakness in your profession? So I think one of my biggest weaknesses is actually due to these friendships. It's probably not a negative in the grand scheme of life, but because I create these real friendships with so many of my patients, especially earlier in my career, I had a really hard time charging clients, oftentimes because they were my friends. And at some point, chiropractic has to become my profession. I do need to make money doing it because it's my only profession. It's the only way I make money at this point. I also have very deep friendships with my staff. And that can be a problem because, as I've talked about, sometimes it's time to lay down the law. It's time to change things. I need to be the boss. Hey, I want this to change. I'm the boss. And they look at me like, oh, what's up with him today? He's a real jerk. Those are probably my biggest weaknesses. I also like stuff done my way. I created the business, so if somebody in my clinic is doing something slower or not exactly the way that I would do it, I tend to just do it myself. There you go, guys. 15 years of Q&A brought to you in over an hour of anatomy. This is perfect for anyone wanting to know me better, or especially for those interested in pursuing a career in the sports medicine or chiropractic world. After listening to all this, if you still have a question that isn't answered, please get a hold of me and ask it, because there are many more out there that have these same questions. There you go, guys. I doubt you will find a more complete interview with a chiropractor. Like I said, this all came to be because I get all these phone calls every semester. Hey, can I sit down with you for an interview? I mean, you want to call me, take an hour of my time up to ask me questions like, what does DC mean? Where did you go to chiropractic school? What's your favorite thing about your job? What's your worst? This 4-series interview with a chiropractor is for those that really care. I want this to help you make a decision in your life. And at the end of the day, the big decision should be, it's probably not the career that makes you. It's who you are. Now, go find a career that lets you live who you are. Because for the most part, guys, I'm very, very happy and love what I do. And more importantly, love myself as a person. And I think the career helped me kind of, without sounding too weird about it, blossom into who I wanted to become. And that's a great thing. Take care, guys. Look for different stuff down the way, but I thought this was one that just had to be shared. Please share it and make sure that you let people know that might be in the same boat that they can learn a lot from this series.